If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the kingdom, glory, light, and power of the Most High, through Christ Jesus. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is, You Have a Divine Calling on Your Life. So let's take a deep breath and begin by calling your own life forward into your divine calling. Evoke it. Call it forward. Feel it descend upon you like a mantle, a divine bestowment. Just receive it. As we've been saying in previous seminars, everything that God would have you receive has already been given through grace. You just need to step under that mantle, that enablement, that divine endowment of power from on high. Where from on high? Through your kingdom inheritance and lineage. You're divinely connected. Your lineage links you through eternity. That indwelling Christ within you, the hope of glory. And more than the hope, the seal and assurance that all that you have been foreordained and kingdom designed to fulfill in time and space and beyond time and space shall be fulfilled. It's huge. It's bigger than anything your human mind could ever dream, imagine, or conceive of. That's how you know. It's of God. Yes, yes, yes. And yet, beloved, have you not received a sense, an inner sense, that you have a call of divine greatness upon you? Oh, you probably had it driven out of you by the time you were maybe 6.5 or 7, given the schooling and the conditioning that begins to set in. But if you can move your inner awareness back to when you were originally freshly hatched onto this planet, I think you will trace a sense of divine knowing that came in with you. I remember when I was very, very young, my mom used to read me the story of the prophets in the Old Testament, and the New Testament too, but my favorite story was the story of the prophet Samuel and how he was called by God in the middle of the night. And though, you know, really a little boy, God already said, before I knit your parts together in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I have called you to be my prophet. Oh, my, how my heart burned when I heard those words. And it kind of set in place the spiritual path that I've been called to fulfill in operating in the gift of prophecy. And the gift of prophecy that everyone who is in covenant kingdom relationship with God is able to operate in may surprise you. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, as one of the many bestowments of the Holy Spirit, is the ability to exhort. That means to call yourself or others forward, encourage, and cheer them on, which I try to do in each of these seminars. And it's the ability to edify, that is to build in a sense of ability and, what would you call it, confidence, to instill confidence and strength in another, and to comfort. So it's to exhort, edify, and comfort. That's the gift of prophecy. And I exemplify that in doing these weekly radio seminars, because that's the whole intention. To exhort you, to call you forward and cheer you, and encourage you and strengthen you in who and what you are as a divine extension, made in the image and likeness of God. And the only part that's ever been lost is the part that misidentified itself as being separate from God, as being somehow less than what you actually know in your innermost heart you actually are. I don't think the voice of the world can ever completely drown out that sense of divine calling, divine authorship, although it does a darn good job in many lives. But I'm here to ignite the fire of your divine spirit, of your holy heart, to bring back to your remembrance your original wholeness and holiness, and the kingdom of light that you were divinely designed to import and embody upon earth. We are the ones to call forth the glory in the kingdom within our own atomic and subatomic particles at every level of our expression. We call ourselves forward into what we know is our greatness, our divinity, our true self, our highest divine potential. And yet we don't belabor our imperfections because, as I so clearly explained last week, Jesus the Christ already did all the doing that ever needed to be done on the cross of Calvary, took all of our imperfections and bridged them through to perfection and grace and full restoration of your kingdom inheritance, which when you have placed your life fully and completely in the care and keeping of the divine spirit through Christ Jesus and the way that has been appointed and laid forth for you in the gospel message, when you've done that, you are in covenant relationship, and the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God is yours. You have direct access to the kingdom. Well, what in the world is the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus said, when he came upon the earth, that the kingdom of God is among you, that the kingdom of God has come to you, that the kingdom of God is at hand, and that the kingdom of God is within you. So let's start with the within you. The kingdom of God, according to the scriptures, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is righteousness? right relationship, correct alignment, spiritual covenant, connectedness, with all the promises and inherited endowment that comes with that position. In the kingdom of heaven, it's relationship, it's heritage, it's yours, it's what you were created for. And I really think that this life on earth is kind of like a green room where we are, you know, preparing to step out and enact our roles. So we're psyching up and powering up and getting into character here in this green room of life. And we're getting a sense of that divine call that we truly have. And we're trying to match it with whatever we've got to match it with. And you know, of our own efforts, we don't match up too well because it's designed to be too big for you to match up out of your own human self. It's a co-partnering with the divine that's called for here. How can you enter the kingdom of God if you don't know the King? If you haven't received the favor of the King, which is called grace, or accepted the authority of the King? You know, it all goes together. We don't know much about kings here in the United States. Maybe some of you in the UK or other countries that are under a monarchy or a king know something of what I'm talking about. But it's not a democracy that we're moving into. We're moving into God's kingdom, where God and His Christ have complete power and dominion on earth as it is in heaven. But the on earth part is our job. When we are born into the kingdom of God through salvation, which means to be restored to divine wholeness, original wholeness, just as you were under original sin, which is originally missing the mark by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so through salvation you're restored to the tree of life. And your eternal life with God begins with a brand new life here, in which you gradually learn of your inheritance and the promises that come with your new state. It's pretty awesome. You won't have any idea of what you have in your inheritance if you don't read the New Testament, which gives out the new agreements that are now yours through grace. And it's a good idea, after you've done that, to read the Old Testament, which is always a foreshadowing and a prophetic foretelling symbolically and in actuality and in actual groups of people that lived on the planet. It's a foreenactment of what is reconciled and acted out through grace in the new covenant. So, Christ lives in you. Christ is inside of you. And you may think, ah, all Christians know that. Well, you know what? They don't. Maybe in their heads, but certainly not with their hearts. And the head and the heart not being joined leaves the body not knowing where to act or place itself. So you see people that have their bums on the pew seat in the church, but their heads are out in the shopping malls or their places of business. In other words, they have their bodies in the temple, but their whole consciousness is invested in the world. But if people who are under the new covenant of grace, if the saved and redeemed truly knew who lived in them, who lives in them, and who can do all things through them. They wouldn't depend upon themselves. They would allow themselves to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they would do the same thing that Jesus did. And people that had not received that salvation would be beating down the doors of the churches to get inside and get saved. They would so much want what you and I have that they would be following us around and begging us, where did you get that radiance? How come you can speak the words that you speak with such authority and power? How come people get healed under your ministry? How come miracles, signs, and wonders seem to manifest wherever you share your message, which is really not your message, but the gospel of grace, salvation through grace, the good news? And a church that is so full of the grace of God that even, you know, the worldly people who could care less about the things of God would be in wonder and awe at the power of God in your life, in our lives. But, you know, as people under the covenant, we have that hope of glory. And that means we can fully and confidently expect the fullness of God's glory to manifest His presence in our lives and to confirm the truth of the word that we speak through some sort of supernatural manifestation in the place that we're ministering. So we don't have to just wish for it or read about others who've experienced this fullness. But we can manifest God's presence in our lives today. We can live in the glory realms ourselves. And we can do this not out of our own steam and puffery and knowledge, but because Jesus, the Appointed One, the Lord of Glory Himself, dwells inside you, dwells inside me. And it's through His power that I can do all things. So think about it. Let that thrilling reality of it start to sink into your heart. And let it begin to awaken that new life, that new level of anointing. And know that it's not the historical Jesus only as he was when he walked upon the earth 2,000 years ago, but the glorified, resurrected Christ Jesus who lives forevermore and walks the earth today, lives in his spirit inside you. How powerful. We have often thought of the word Christ as the last name of Jesus, but actually it means the Anointed One. And that's why this show is Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. It's calling the Anointed One that you are forward into your divine calling. It's a clarion call that goes out each week with a slightly different resonant vibratory tonality that impacts the airwaves, proclaiming that God's kingdom has come and that you are the one that is to manifest it on earth through the anointing of the Christ that dwells in you and lives through you. So, what if the Anointed One Himself lives in you? How would you live differently if that became like a driving sense of purpose the Anointed One, dwells within me, and through him I can do all things. Realize, if you choose to, that you are his body on earth. Jesus the Christ, 2,000 years ago, was the physical embodiment, the very image of God, the Most High God, walking the earth in a human body, but never for an instant forgetting his upline, his lineage, his kingdom identity, authority, and purpose. And in his dwelling inside you, he is constantly reminding you of the great divine call of God on your life. So you and I are not just representatives of God and his kingdom. We're his literal physical body on this earth. Jesus said, "While I was in the world, I was the light of the world. But now you are the light of the world. And I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends." And so we are friends of God. And even though we have a servant's heart, which means we bend low and offer ourselves in the most humble and selfless ways to serve, regardless of race and creed, color, situation, circumstance, or environment. Regardless. That's the servant's heart. We put aside the things of the lower ego self, and we make room to host the whole spirit. And we keep enlarging his territory within us until we go from a little wiggle room to full access, where you realize, you know what? This body is for you, God. It has nothing to do with me at all. In fact, I as a separate being don't even show up anymore. I am now the Anointed One that lives in Christ, and Christ lives in me. And I am hidden in that anointing, in Christ, in God. Which means that which was the limited self doesn't even show up anymore. You just see the image of the Son of God walking the earth. Yeah. I saw that in my wonderful master teacher, John Roger. When I met John Roger back in 72, I had met him 20 years earlier, but only on the inner plane, so I didn't actually know he was a physical person living on Earth. And we went to India together to see the avatar Sai Baba. And after being with John Roger and watching how he selflessly was 100% present with every person he interacted with, it was as if they were the only person that lived on the earth. And he was there at any point in which they had a need. He was the first one to respond, to be sensitive to where he could lift and encourage and comfort and edify and exhort. He was operating in that prophetic gifting all the time. And I thought, wow, I do believe John Rogers, the first real Christian I have ever met personally. And now, many, many decades later, I can affirm that here is a true Christian. And yet, if you'd asked John Roger if he was a Christian, he would say, as I've heard him say before, that is a very, very, very high calling to which I'm constantly working to become. So, it's a process, isn't it? But we move in the kingdom from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. which means that there's always more being revealed and open to us. And the glory has to do with the greater ability of God's presence to shine through and to manifest through our temple. And that's the whole purpose, that we would be in any form of spiritual practice, would be to turn this body-mind complex over completely to the use of the Divine Spirit. So, the work that we are called to do, bear in mind, doesn't just end with this life here. You are already born into eternal life in covenant relationship with the Christ, which means this is truly a green room. It's just a little prologue, a little preamble, a little parenthesis in time that will launch you into eternity and into infinity of open-ended, ever more glorious divine co-participation and co-creatorship, in which already, the minute you come into covenant with Christ, you are already seated with Christ in higher divine administrative positioning. Seated means the work is finished. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to earn it. You've already done the only earning that needed to be done when you accepted the way, capital W, of the Christ. That's it. That's the doing that had to be done in time and space, i.e., you were here to get connected. Connected to your divine blueprint, your divine destiny, and to awaken to the divine calling on your life. So again, when did you hear that divine call? When did you know in your heart that God had a greater purpose for your life? I do remember when I was very, very young that I really wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to travel all over the world and tell people about God, help them find God. And I also had visions of myself traveling all over the world and speaking to people. And later, much later, I read the story of Albert Schweitzer, and that really set my heart ablaze. But it was not my destiny to be a regular Christian missionary. My destiny didn't point me in that direction. I was not led by the Spirit in that way. I was led in very different paths through many, many religious traditions, so that I could understand the many ways that man is seeking his destiny and trying to court his calling or discover his calling. And of course, in that process, I was also responding to my own divine calling. And really, my calling is one of a heart that loves, calling to that heart of love within you, that sacred heart. I guess my favorite imagery is the sacred heart of Jesus. And that sacred heart is birthed out of many, many painful experiences that we have. There's so many things that happen that we don't understand this side of the eternal, you know, the door of eternity, because in terms of here and now, it doesn't make much sense. But when you begin to develop that kingdom perspective that moves you forward as an eternal life that you're living forever and ever with God, when you have that eternal perspective, it begins to make sense. It's like, oh, that's why the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary is always shown with a crown of thorns and pierced and dripping with blood and all this pain. But out of the top of that heart is the cross. And it's through the cross and the crucified laid down self, lower self, that the resurrected Christ is born to eternal life within us. That's why St. Francis said, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So we have to die to the false that we can be born to the eternal and the true. And there the flame, the holy flame, shoots forth. And I have discovered that it's a flame that is ruby colored, which is the transmutation of the bright red of the blood that is kissed by the purple of transmutation. And there's purple and silver, which speaks out the sacrificial life, the laid down, crucified life, that births the holy fire, for there is white fire coming out of that heart also, and golden kingdom radiance. And so it is to the way of the Sacred Heart that I call you. That's the only way I can call you, for that's the only path I have walked. And many have been the experiences of the thorns piercing the heart. Because until we learn to transcend the personal, we're going to get hurt in this world. We're going to feel betrayal and hurt and offense and woundedness. But agape love is what's going to be birthed ultimately when that heart is fully, fully Christocentric, Christified, anointed. And you don't even notice personal offense. You could be offended from now till kingdom come, but you would interpret it like Jesus did, as simply a cry out of the darkness and despair of ignorance and falsehood for love, for salvation, for light. So you see, when you respond fully to that divine call, it causes you to see everything differently. You no longer see anything through personal offense or personal need or personal agenda. Everything is reinterpreted as a call for healing and love. And so we speak words. We speak the words that release the power and the anointing of the Christ within us into situations. And when we release the words, the divine words, the kingdom of God begins to manifest in that life, in that situation, in that disease. We become ministers of atonement and restoration, not by our own power, but by the finished work of the cross and all that Jesus restored to us through his giving of his life and his resurrection from the tomb of all things of this world. And so we have inherited that renewed, resurrected life. Yeah. So God chose you before the foundation of this world. He already foreknew you. He knew your name. He called you specifically. And he had planned specific, noble, meritorious acts for you to act out in revealing his kingdom, power, and glory in your life. Whatever the circumstance is, you are to release his kingdom. And I often do it by watching situations on television or maybe emails that I'm reading or in my own body, if I wake up with some physical pain, I will place my hands on my body, or I will raise my hands before the television screen or whatever, and I'll say, I release the kingdom, the power, and the glory into the situation in the name of Jesus Christ. I release the kingdom, the power, and the glory into this body, into this situation, into every atom and subatomic particle of every man, woman, and child on this planet, in the name, power, and authority of Jesus Christ. So you always act in the name, the authority, and the power of Jesus, the King. Jesus, who is the King of glory and the ruler of the entire universe and kingdoms of God. So you don't ever have to act in any other name, under any other authority or power. You speak as a person that is in covenant relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. You have the authority to act in that level of anointing. And that's the confidence that you have. You don't even need confidence. Your confidence and strength comes when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is activated and quickened, and sets you really ablaze with zeal for your calling and supernatural enablement to step forth boldly and to basically speak forth the good news. Tell it forth, which is another meaning of the word prophesy. To foretell, to tell it forth. And it all has to do with God and His glory and His kingdom. That's how it differs from psychic prophecy. You are foretelling the heart, mind, and purposes of God. And it's all kingdom-oriented. So, God's Spirit is the Spirit that is behind the energy of enthous, entheos, which means in godness or enthusiasm. It is the Spirit behind in spiritos or inspiration, being in the Spirit. And God's Spirit speaks to you through your conscience and through your inner attitudes in the voice of encouragement. Courage comes from the French word, which means heart. So it is a manifestation of trusting in God with all your heart and stepping out at the same time in faith upon the energy of that trust. So it's the true voice is always one of exhortation, encouragement. It gives you strength. It goads you on. It inspires you. It drives you. It flows you through grace. Whereas the false voice is always one that lessens that encouragement. It's the voice of discouragement, that which causes you to lose heart, which manifests then as doubt, vacillation, procrastination, holding back through fear, which is the same thing, or acting half-heartedly. That's why the scriptures say that whatever we lay our hand to do, we need to do it with all our heart and all our strength as unto God. That's why to do anything that your heart isn't in, that there's no faith behind it, according to the scriptures, to act without faith is to act in sin. Sin, again, is to go south of the divine will, to head in another direction than you were divinely intended to veer off course. That way, if you veer off course, you can choose again and veer back on course, too. So notice that the things that you can't put your heart fully into are not meant for you to be involved with. Get out of them. Or shift your attitude if you just have a bad attitude. Because God is always in the middle of what you're supposed to do through inspiration, enthusiasm, and full-heartedness. Real easy to tell where you're being led, whether you're being led of the flesh or the spirit, by that simple, simple quality of encouragement. So bear in mind that as priests after the order of Melchizedek, we are to usher in the divine presence wherever we are, in your home, in your family, in your workplace, on this earth, and throughout the cosmos. When you show up on the interdimensional planes, you need to usher in the divine presence in every realm in which you walk. And as you do, you'll notice that the lesser forces will stand down and let you pass. Why? Because you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you walk in his name, power, and authority. And you're an ambassador of God's kingdom, both in this world and in the other dimensional realms. And nobody's going to mess with you. Oh, they might rattle their chains and try to mess with you before you really, you know, have your faith walked down. But in time, you'll stand and call them on their, you know, their impudence in being in your presence. And they will stand down. You know, the scriptures say, resist the devil and he will flee. He only gains power when you give him power. And you give him power through ignorance of your kingdom, rights, your authority, the power and upline sponsorship in which you walk. So you're prepared for work in the greater galactic whole, the greater imperishable star realms, for great cosmic tasks that you'll be fulfilling. And these are in the realms of imperishable glory and ever-unfolding divine creative light and life within God's kingdom, which can only be called the glory realms of infinity. And there we will co-administer, co-rule, co-govern, and co-reign with Christ, which means since Earth is in a time lag, we're already doing that. You're already doing that. Down here, we just lose sight of it because of the fallen mind, which is being transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. So that even our mindset is gradually being conformed to the mind of Christ, so that we will see like Christ saw through divinely anointed vision. So just know that everything in your life is being rearranged to reconfigure your entire persona, inner and outer, into that of the Anointed One. Everything, everything in your life is being worked together to benefit you. Even the mistakes you made in the past are being reinterpreted to bless the people involved and to bless you and to reveal God's kingdom, glory, and power. Yeah, even your worst, whatever it was you did, it is forgiven, blotted out, washed, and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and now stands as a transformed energetic. It's transformed, it's redeemed. It's been restored. So what was before a curse is now a blessing. What was before a weakness is now a strength. What before was a veering away from the path is now a solid walk of unconditional loving trust in which you walk with Christ every day in every area of your life, led by the Holy Spirit, which makes you a son and daughter of God. So you are living a temporary green room, psyching up, preparatory to stepping forth into this greater realm that really we can't say too much about it other than it is going to be as it's described in the scriptures, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the mind of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. That's for you, baby. And that's for me. You have come under the new covenant, the new agreement, ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed forever by his shed blood. And you don't have to do anything but give God full dominion and centricity in your life. That's all. And we don't even do that by ourselves, because it's only the Spirit of truth that dwells within you as the Holy Spirit and speaks to you as your conscience. It is only the Holy Spirit that can draw you to salvation. Did you know that? That the mind and the heart of man must be prepared by the Holy Spirit to hear, receive, understand, and believe the gospel of salvation. So even your own salvation has nothing to do, really, with you, really speaking. We think it does. We think we choose Christ. But Jesus said very clearly, think you that you chose yourself and called yourself? No. I tell you that I called you. I was the one who called you to be my own. Yeah. So we're the called and we're the chosen ones of these times, but we also need to respond to the call and choose back. And again, the choosing back is saying yes. Saying yes. Wherever you have resisted Jesus, the Christ, or the divine call in your life, you just say, you know what? You can have it. Just take it, Lord. Just take it. I give up. I give in. I give it all. You know, I offer it all at the foot of the cross. I remember Oprah Winfrey on her show saying that at one point she had very much wanted to have the role in the, what is it, the Touch of Purple, or the Color Purple. And she thought she had lost the role, and she was really, really upset. And all of a sudden this song came in her mind that she had learned, and she started singing it. I surrender all, I surrender all to you, my precious Jesus, I surrender all. And when we can say that, you know, all to you, my precious Savior, my precious Jesus, I surrender all, that hard-heartedness just melts into divine nectar. That what you call it, that ego snag, that snags, you know, and kind of pulls you back from your full inheritance. It gives way. It melts. It's very interesting that illusion has no strength. In fact, it's interesting that lie detectors work because it shows where your energy drops when you say a lie, a falsehood. And the same thing applies in muscle testing. When you say a lie, your whole body gets weak. Loses strength, loses courage. Isn't that interesting? So truth is what gives you strength. Truth is what gives you support. What is truth? Christ is truth. The same today and forever. Unchanging. The Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Almighty Savior, is always faithful. Dependable, solid. That's why he is called the rock of our salvation. And when your life is firmly planted on that rock, that is the chief cornerstone of your life, when your life is firmly positioned in that way, you've got a very solid footing. You know, there's no shifting sand in your life. You're on the rock. You're solid. You're planted. You're secure. and the gates of hell and all that would try to prevail against you, it's a little puff of breeze. It's absolutely powerless in the power and glory of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. So, you're called forward into something that you're not necessarily going to be able to see in any way that your ego can get a toehold in it in terms of your calling. I've spoken about this before. Your calling is not your profession. It's not your paycheck. It's not your work in the world. It's not your own defining and definition and choosing. It's what God has marked you to be and do. And I know from my own experience, it's by hindsight that I can kind of get a slight glimmer of how God has called me in my life. Some of you who are in younger bodies may have come with a calling that you're going to manifest sooner on the time scale because we are in the last days of this cycle. So many youngsters are being called at a very young age to walk out a very definite calling. But it's nothing that any psychic is ever going to be able to read. It can't be read at the psychic level. It can be prophesied by a man or woman of God who is spirit-filled. They may have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge about the call of God in your life. Or they may just say, oh, you have a tremendous call of God in your life. That may be all that they're allowed to say. Because it's kind of God's pleasure to gradually reveal this to you because it brings you joy and delight. And above all things, God wants you to have joy and that more abundant and fullness of life. So everything that God is in is going to give you greater life and vitality and joy and enthusiasm. That Zoe life, that powerful life of God is going to course through whatever God has marked for you. That's kind of how you can tell God's in it, is that, wow, you're just set on fire, you know, and a power much greater than you bridges all of your inadequacies and manifests in a way that just astounds you, you know, regardless of what you think you can or can't do, God can cause you to do anything to perfection and excellence and to have an outcome that probably you didn't even guess that you were going to manifest. So again, we're learning to trust God and His leadership and authority and guidance in every area of our life and to be content without knowing. You know, leave the details to God, the where's and the how's and all of that, just leave it in His hands. What's your job? To walk in steadfast trust and be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that speaks to you in that still, small voice of your conscience. It gives you very direct sensations in your heart and in your inner core essence, just your spirit self. And you discern all things by the impact of the energy as you begin to inquire into that. The heart of people, the heart of things becomes open to your discernment. And I would suggest you ask for greater discernment, that you can have more conscious awareness of the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. More conscious awareness of the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is your own and only God-authorized teacher with a capital T. And God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, but in slightly different manifestations. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches you the truth and reveals to you the identity of Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ would like you to know. The Holy Spirit reveals to you the truth of his teachings and releases through you the anointing that enables you to have that mind that was in Christ Jesus, to have that strength of obedience that was part of his nature, and to manifest the miracles and the works and the supernatural abilities that show that you are a true minister of the gospel, which means the good news of Jesus the Christ. And the word minister means basically those who are the servers, those who are called to a life of service on behalf of others. And that's the only thing Jesus was involved with. He spent quiet time with the Father, and then he entered into the world. And you read the Gospels, and you see he was busy from morning to night, meeting the needs of people as he walked about. He didn't have an agenda. He didn't have, apparently, any kind of a schedule. He was just walking about doing daily life, eating with people and staying overnight in people's homes and walking in the area. And the people he encountered, he ministered to the best of his ability, which was full ability of the Father, that the Father enabled him to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. Live your life and be a blessing in whatever way it you possibly can, with as many people as possible and as much as possible. Help however you can. If you can't help, then donate to people who are helping so that they can help more. Every one of you should be investing in the kingdom of God in some way that supports the work of the kingdom in the world. 10% of the gross off the top of all of your income belongs to God. If you have a problem with finances, that's why, if you're not tithing. 10% of whatever you make belongs to God and his work, his kingdom. And so when you do that, you fulfill a law of finance that makes sure that you always have what is needed in your life. So learning what your inheritance is and learning how to live by kingdom principles is extremely important. And you're going to need to do some study on your own of the scriptures and of any additional studies that will teach you in areas that you feel that you lack knowledge, so that you can operate by kingdom principles and not by the systems of the world. Because you are called now to a much higher life. You're not called to adapt yourself to the ways of the world, but that the world can be reconfigured to the kingdom of God through your example, which is obviously and hopefully going to be very different from the people around you. Not that you act holier than thou. That's not the idea. But that you call yourself forward into a higher standard of how you talk, the things that you will give your attention to, and the areas that you very firmly redirect yourself out of because they no longer have any attraction for you. And that's how you announce the kingdom of God has come. Which Jesus described is like the tiniest little seed, a little tiny mustard seed that begins to take over the whole area. It just grows so profusely. And if we have faith like that tiny little mustard seed, we can move mountains. So the mustard seed is also used to describe faith and the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Both are activated and quickened by faith, which again is simply unconditional trust in the guidance of the divine spirit. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting the beautiful name of Yeshua, which is Jesus in Hebrew. Deep breath. Yeshua. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. God be with each one of you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.